Chodesh Halvados, Tuesday night, Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Revi'i, page Kuf Samach Tes. It was very harsh words for someone who, what's interesting, it was very harsh words for someone who is not serving Hashem, L'Shem Hashem, but for whatever the reason is, social reasons, and just basically social reasons, what people will think of him, his social standing, his kids shiduchim, whatever it is. So normally you say, okay, you're not going to get at him, but here he speaks very harshly of him. And what's interesting is the parak starts off that there's three things that spoil your ability to do things for the right reason. And again, the right reason is that I'm doing Ratzon Hashem, and that's it. That's the matara, and that's the purpose. I'm doing Ratzon Hashem. So he says, if you don't have any concept of Hashem, you can't possibly do it to fulfill Ritzono, because it doesn't mean anything to you. It's just words. Like a child would say it. This is the Chayim Talavah holds. If your conception is no more than a child, so then it's not real. Number two is you don't know what to do. You never learned, so you don't know what to do. So you can't do things l'shma if you're not doing the right thing. And number three is the Yetzer Hara, which he'll explain. It's in the first thing that he says this harsh word. He says, if you don't know Hashem, so then b'chasher olsem mishe'enu yodeas Hashem ma'isa mi'ma'isa ha'mishmas. He's already like putting on tefillin, making kiddush, wearing tzitzis. Ein matarosa b'hem elamatos mishe'yoro. Mishayora you makabim ibn Yodam Balabad, someone who's afraid of or anticipating some benefit from Bnei Yodam. Very over this Bnei Yodam, Lo is Bori Bnei Yodam. He's worshipping people. If you really, really wanna, describe it in its starkest, most lurid terms, he's worshipping people, not worshipping Hashem. Machmas Iyadiyoso also. He doesn't have any concept of Hashem. V'choser HaKaroso also. V'kachad Dover Bovido Alilim. He said, what do you think of Anovid Zora? Anovid Zora is someone, and this is what, historically, certainly, the people who didn't have any concept of Hashem, so they couldn't imagine that Hashem has any connection to this world, to the lowliness of this world, that Hashem cares who wins the World Series. You understand, when I went to school, I went to RJJ, so we had a chabur of guys. So I'm here now, and it was actually Kaminsky, who's now Rosh Yeshiva Mir, and there was another guy, it was Rabbi Stein, was part of the chabur, and we were all Giant fans. It's like I had a real chesek last night to call everybody up, just to see if they're all if they're as excited as I am. What? Yeah. So I wonder, like I would call it, hello, is this Rosh Yeshiva Mir? Hey, what do you say? Anyway, but that's what the Rambam says, that's what led them to Avodah Zarah. Their inability to conceive of a Hashem that cares about such things and that controls such things and that decides such things. And then he goes wild, the Chayim Talavos. He says, you know what? An Ovid Avodah Zarah is better than this guy in four ways. Now he's calling the guy a chonef, meaning a crowd pleaser. Barbod Dvarim. Number one, Shovid Alilim is Manazeh, and the Muzer of Avodah Zarah Alilim al Yudei Novi. He says, if you look now about a sincere Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's religious. So he has some a philosophical error, whether it's Hashem or he may be sincere. It is, you know, it takes a Navi, you know, it takes some sort of a Navi, some sort of like revelation to speak to an Oved Avodah Zarah and saying, you know, you guys are making a big mistake. But a religious, Oved Avodah Zarah, he's religious, he means well, and there's no one, you know, it's not surprising that you can't convince him that he's making a mistake, because he's in a religious ecstasy. You would need like a Navi to tell him he's doing the wrong thing. So he doesn't mean it like literally, sort of, Mela, they're not going to get punished, you know. That's already Hashem's cheshbon, whether they should have known. But he's saying in a certain way, their behavior is more understandable, because they want to be religious, they want to relate to something spiritual. This Chane, this guy, he's like a lowlife. He could figure out on his own that what he's doing is wrong. He could see on his own. Is this an emergency? I'm in the middle of a shiur. At 9:30. Okay, so okay, bye. He says he figured it out on his own. You're supposed to be Oved Hashem. You're not supposed to do things because it'll give you honor or standing in the community. You don't need a Navi to tell you that. That's something you should be able to figure out by yourself. Aval hamachnif b'das Hashem yesh lito negdo b'meshenim selo menat sivuyim al avodas Hashem. He was commanded to serve Hashem. It says in the Torah, serve Hashem. Put on tefillin, serve Hashem. You're not serving Hashem. You're serving your next door neighbor, because you care what he thinks about you, and that's why you're doing what you're doing. You care about... You're supposed to be single-minded in your devotion to Hashem, and you're not. You're devoted to whatever it is you're devoted to. You're devoted to success. You're devoted to whoever you're bringing into the picture of your life. You want to please whoever you want to please. I want to please Meir Zlatowitz. I want to please Hashem. Meir Zlatowitz writes my checks, signs my checks. I got to please him, right? So I'm worshiping him. I'm serving him. That's number one. So number one is David Elilim is living a spiritual life, ironically. He's not just, you have to be a little sophisticated here. He's not justifying Avodah Zarah. And if you had to choose between being Oved Avodah Zarah and being Chonef, as he calls it, 1,000%, the Chayyim Zalvavus would tell you to be a Chonef and put on tefillin and not to be Oved Avodah Zarah. He's talking conceptually, you know. He's saying, don't think you're not being frum. You're not being chosid. You're not being machmir, but you're a wonderful Jew. He's saying you're a good Jew, you know, but you're not a wonderful Jew. You missed a major point in what Yiddishkeit's all about, which is doing the Ratzon Hashem, and you just missed it. Completely missed it. Okay, that's number one. Number one is so he wants to like smack you in the face, and he says, you know, you're like an Oved Avodah Zarah, you know, you're not really worshiping Hashem. In fact, you know, you're like a debater, like it's a good debate. Tactics. In fact, an Oved Avodah Zarah is better than you in four ways. Number one, he's a spiritual person, and he, you know, it takes a Navi to tell him that what he's doing is wrong. And we don't have Naviim. And you are like, you should be able to figure this out by yourself. You're doing it for the prize. Number two, Oved Elilim Oved Lemi She'enam Moreid Bashem. Oved Elilim is like, it's innocuous, he's worshipping the sun, the moon, the statue. No, if I want to please my neighbor might be a bad person. And I'm worshipping and making a subject of, right, if I feel I have to kowtow to certain people or else they'll mess up my life, but that person could be a Rasha. And that's where the real Isser Chanufa comes in, where you don't want to cross a Rasha. You don't want to tell a Rasha that he's doing anything wrong. because he might fire you, right? And with Sharon, everybody went along with Sharon because they wanted to keep their jobs. So Avu b'machnif b'das Hashem oved l'misha ainu morid b'Hashem u'l'misha morid meim le'odom. So, but this person who does things because of other people, so he might, and he's worshiping someone that rebelling against Hashem. So the Oved Avodah Zarah, ironically, is worshiping at least an innocuous power of a statue, not doing anybody any harm, so to speak. The Chonef might be giving kavod and power and political power and political power or power over a community. You know, it might be a very bad person. Number three, Shoved Alilam Oved Dovrecha Dolavad. Dovid Avodah Zarah is at least worshipping one. You know, usually they picked one Avodah Zarah, they worshipped it. The Machnif has to worship that neighbor, and this friend, all over the place. A multitude of worshipped objects. That's number three. And number four, Sha'ovid Alila Meinu Master in Yonah B'Bnei Yodam. Here's a very, 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 very telling point. So an Oved Avodah Zarah doesn't hide. Yeah, I'm an Oved Avodah Zarah, that's what I am, and what you see is what you get. And whoever feels he's a bad influence will stay away from him. But the guy that puts on tefillin because for the wrong reason, you have no telltale signs how to stay away from this guy. So you're gonna become his buddy. And he's gonna influence you, and you're gonna be led down the wrong path, and you have no way to guard yourself because you see a frum Jew, a very nice person, very frum Jew, like, looks, you know, walks the walk, talks the talk, very nice man. The Baravish over the Lila may no master in Yom Yom, he doesn't hide what he's doing. Kadesha Yazaru Minazokov, Machmos Pearsum Kfiroso Bashem. He's a okay, you know, to stay away from him. It's like saying, let's say, when, you know, it's Reform Judaism and it just started. So saying a Reform Jew is much worse than a Christian. Because a Reform Jew is a Jew, and you're going to be his friend, you know, and you're not really sure what it is. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's just this, maybe just that. A Christian, you know, to stay away from. You know, he's a different person. We don't mix. But a Jew that has, you know, terrible theology, and he does some mitzvahs, he says, oh, you don't have to do these mitzvahs anymore, they're not important, you don't even know to stay away from him.
Yeah, but these four things,
he's emotional, the Chavis. Again, if you went to the Chavis Halvavis and say, okay, I have a choice now, I can be open with the Zara, and I can put on tefillin to please my neighbor, what should I do? He's not going to tell you to go with the Zara, I guarantee you.
Right, but even these four things that he says, to an extent, you need to be a Navi to be able to. But to an extent, what he's talking about here, if you look close enough, you can observe it. You can see that the sheep.
He wants to impress upon you how bad, how it. It's not like the guy that's doing things to please his neighbor and never thinks about Hashem. You know, he's not drinking Chol of Yisrael. It's a fundamental flaw in his Avodas Hashem. He's going through the motions, so, you know, maybe he won't go to Gehenna, and we don't really know. You know, it's up to Hashem. Hashem does the entrance exams, you know. Puts you in the up elevator or the down elevator, we don't know. But there's a fun, it's not like Chol of Yisrael. By the way, I only drink Chol of Yisrael. That's what he wants to impress upon us. It's a fundamental flaw in his whole concept of who Hashem is and what Hashem is. When you say, like, it's really a very deep idea. It's saying, why do I have to put on tefillin? Because Hashem told me to, when I have to listen to Hashem. That's very, I mean, you know, most people would be happy with that. We would all be happy with that. But Chavis Halavos is not happy with that. It's not like, oh, I have to listen to Hashem. It's, I have to do Hashem's will. and I'm here to do Hashem's will. And this whole world, Hashem is so pervasive, and so, and the only thing that really exists is Hashem. See, that's why this has to come after Shar HaYichud and Shar HaBechina and HaBitachon and HaBodes HaLokim. Then you get up to Yichud HaMaisa, because it's really a deep idea. It's not like, do it l'shma. It's deeper. It's like all that really exists is Hashem. Everything is Hashem's will, and Hashem and His will is one, right? Because Hashem is indivisible. That's what He was so insistent on in Shar HaYichud, that Hashem is indivisible. You can't talk about Hashem and His wisdom and His mercy and His will and His wish and His havamina and His maskana. It's all just the way we talk, but it's not real. There is Hashem is an indivisible piece of existence, we'll call it. He just exists. He exists in a way that we don't even know what it means, because we exist because we're a figment of Hashem's imagination, meaning we're Hashem's will. If Hashem's, we don't realize how serious it is, right? It's like a childish marshal, but it really holds a very deep truth. The manufacturer of this bottle, after he made it, is totally withdrawn from the bottle. He could not want it to exist, but it will continue to exist even if he doesn't want it to. So this bottle is not really a product. It's maybe like a
byproduct.
It's like we just learned about Knas. It's a consequence of His will, but it's not a manifestation of His will. It's a consequence. He wanted a bottle, so He made a bottle. So there exists a bottle. But that's it. Now He's cut off. Mamash like we learned about Knas. It's a consequence of the Maisa. But it's not like the Onish is not like really a natural Totsa'ah of the Maisa. It's just a consequence. You did this, so I'm going to slap you with a fine. But it's not like, it doesn't really follow. So this bottle is a consequence because someone wanted to make a bottle. But it's not because this bottle is. And when Hashem, it's very deep, it's very scary. It almost gives everything in the world a kedusha, because that means everything is Ratzon Hashem. Everything you look at, everything you see, is Hashem's will. And like, whoa! Like, and we're, and a person, because we have bechira, but really, we're supposed to. The real avoda, in its deepest level, and we learned this in Tanya too, on the deepest level, we're not really supposed to choose. Because when I choose, there's really a theological problem with my choosing. Because I'm choosing. So I'm doing my will. Because I've chosen to do something. So that's me. And there's not supposed to be a me. The avoda at its deepest level, as I said, you're not going to get him, but avoda at its deepest level is sort of like what you would see if you took like a brain scan, is I'm suspending my will, not I'm choosing to do. I'm suspending my own will. I don't have a will. Like, and I'm like, I am now a robot. I'm doing Hashem's will. I'm just a robot. And it's a suspension of any sense of ego, any sense of self. Again, this is the highest madrega. This is the, at its most deepest, you know, I am Hashem's will. And that's why Rashi and Chumash can make a kal v'chomer, like, hey, if the wheat is doing Hashem's will, because it grows wheat, not barley, so like, alachas kama v'chama, you should do Hashem's will. You go, well, thanks a lot. Like, the wheat doesn't have bechira, and I do. Like, that's, but there's a very, Rashi's, like, it's a very deep thought that you're supposed to become the wheat. That's what you're supposed to become. You're not supposed to really choose and say, oh, I want to be good. Okay, we're not holding there. But that's, on its deepest level, that's what Shar Yichud HaMaisa is really training us to do. It's not just a question of motive. See, I'm getting... You can learn the whole Shaar Yichud HaMa'aseh and think the Chavetz Chaim is only talking about motive. What motivates me. But it's really much deeper than motive. It's what's the essence of what I'm doing. I'm not doing something because Hashem told me to do it. I'm just a functionary. I'm just a functionary carrying out His will. He wants me to do this, but that's His will. Like He wants, on this level, if someone would say, like, do you want to go to Olam Haba? You'd say, well, yeah. Why do you want to go to Olam Haba? So you'd say, because Hashem wants me to go to Olam Haba if I'm good. That's why.
But in some sense, they're still giving. It was supposed to be doing the Rosh Hashem.
Not just doing, but manifesting.
Okay. But on the other hand, you can only do that with almost infinite knowledge. Because...
That's number two. He says you have to learn Torah. You have to know...
But you can learn Torah your entire life and still not know all of Torah. You still...
Yeah, but what's the relevance? Okay, so you do your best.